And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I am talking about it, the one I love, the one I live in, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so we're going to the next dipper in line. I'm calling it the blame game. It is hilarious to watch, y'all. The Democrat finger pointing, they don't have enough fingers to keep the pointing going. I mean, it's unbelievable the manner and the rage and the casting of accusations and the what could have been and what should have been and what who did I why did we well, I don't understand it's hilarious. By the way, I doubt very seriously that any of these celebrities who threaten to move out of the country are actually going to move out of the country now. Just saying. Quit making stupid comments like that. But the truth be told, the blame game is unbelievable. What do they have to blame? I mean, did they just lost? I mean, things happen. Oh, no. Not like this. When you call everybody Nazis, when you tell them they're all garbage, when you basically say that anyone who believes that way is just a lying lunatic, when you hold special press conferences under the flag of your office and say that Trump is a tyrant, and you just tell the world all these things constantly, you'd better make good on your promises, because you just insulted a whole lot of people. Not only that, not only did they just lose the election, they lost everything, every demographic, every swing state, the Electoral College, the popular vote. They lost all of it. Story here from Town Hall. Most recent decision rendered last night by the decision desk headquarters at Town Hall says they are calling Arizona, with its 11 Electoral College votes for President Donald Trump, that is making his count 312. This is a runaway race at this point. This is on par with Reagan beating Carter. This is a epic turn of events. So, we now know that he won all seven swing states: North Carolina, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Arizona. All right, but what else? I mean, so he lost the swing states. How about this? He lost the Catholic vote. The Catholic vote. Wait a minute. Joe Biden claimed to be a practicing Catholic. He lost the Catholic vote? Oh, he lost the Catholic. They lost the Catholic vote. They lost it big. She lost the Catholic vote by a huge margin. President-elect Donald Trump, it says, according to Breitbart, won the Catholic vote by a whopping 15 points. What? Yes. By the way, if you look back in history, I think you will find that there was a pretty decent margin for Biden going into the 2020 with the Catholic vote. But it says, while Trump and running mate J.D. Vance actively courted the Catholic vote, Vice President Kamala Harris seemed bent on alienating Catholics in every way possible, a tactic that served her poorly on Election Day. Yes, I would say that's true. Okay, well, how about all the racial demographics? Because, you know, the Latinx vote. Latinx, we got to have the Latina. I hate saying that. I got to quit doing that. Make me stop.
Can I be honest? I don't even know what Latinx means.
They don't know. You know what? The people who they call Latinx don't know what Latinx means.
Yeah, I've just kind of gone along with it. So I still don't know what that means.
It's ridiculous. it's like gender fluid or something. It's just ridiculous. How about this? The Hispanic vote. they lost that. They didn't lose it totally, but they sure did lose in terms of Trump gaining so much ground on it that it may have swung the election. Says one reason, according to TheBlaze.com, that Trump will head back to Washington, D.C., is because of his eye-popping gains among Latin voters. That voting bloc has grown in recent election cycles. It was typically seen as a reliable pool for Democrats, but Trump has increased his support among that group since his first run in 2016. Get this, not just who they are, but also where they are. Think about this. All the stuff about the southern border and how Trump is anti-Hispanic and anti-Puerto Rico and all these things. By the way, can I say this? The joke about Puerto Rico, the one that caused all the last-minute outrage among the left. Oh, by the way, Republicans won the governor's mansion in Puerto Rico. Just saying. But then on top of that, in terms of the Hispanic vote, according to The Blaze, Trump won the counties in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, which has been historically a deep blue area. with an overwhelming majority Latin population in the Lone Star State in counties like Hidalgo, Star, Cameron, Maverick counties. President Joe Biden carried those counties in 2020. They were hit hard by the Biden open border policies. And then in the home state of Florida, Trump won the urban and Latino-heavy Miami-Dade County by 11 points. I mean, he just spanked it.
It's the first time since the 80s, I believe, that county has been red.
Unbelievable. Yeah, absolutely. Overall, it says NBC News reported that Trump received 45% of the Latino vote. 45%. Well, that's less than Harris. She got 53. Oh, no. Keep in mind, Biden got 65% in 2020. Holy smokes. Holy smokes. All right. All these things. Men voted. Oh, but by the way, the women didn't vote overwhelmingly in favor of Kamala. You don't see any major ethnic group, any major area of the country. I heard, and we're going to find out more tomorrow from my friend Melissa Melendez, who's going to be calling in from California. But I believe that we actually flipped three counties in California red. So listen, things are happening. So the blame game's going. All this happened. Someone's got to pay. Whose fault is this? I don't know. What do you think? I think it's misogyny. I think it's racism. I think it's because there's a lot of people out there that just don't understand democracy and how it's supposed to work. It's unreal. Townhall.com has a piece that says, after Kamala got trounced by Trump, the Dems have begun clawing each other's eyes out. And they are. And one of the ones they're blaming is Joe Biden himself. They're now saying, Joe should have dropped out a long time ago. Well, you know what? You know whose fault that is? Apparently, if you can muscle him out after he's already won the primary vote, I would say you probably could have muscled him out a long time ago if you'd wanted to. I mean, if the man had already won the primary, if he had that in his pocket and he's headed to the general election just months away, if you can still muscle him out at that point, well, then guess what, leaders of the Democrat Party? You probably could have talked him into not running back in the day. The idea they're going to blame Biden? I mean, my gosh. Biden was fighting for his very existence at that point. His son Hunter is, you know, needing a pardon. What's he going to do with Hunter? You know, he's got investigations going about what happened with his, you know, Ukraine money and everything else. And did the Biden family make money off his? I got news. The whole Biden family was really kind of hoping he'd still win. And Jill needed another Vogue, you know, cover or something. All that to say, Dems are right now starting to blame, among other things, Biden. But then I got an article from Fox. Stephen A. Smith, not one known to keep his opinions to himself. Am I right in saying that?
Yes. big time Stephen A. guy over here.
Are you?
Well, I mean, maybe not a fan, but I've watched him pretty much my whole life. You know, growing up watching SportsCenter. Oh, yeah. So yeah.
When did he become so political?
It wasn't until recently. You know, I think as he's seen the independent media podcast world kind of grow, I think he's tried to go on more of like the Patrick Bet David podcast and be more versatile. So not until recently.
Well, he has not been afraid to speak out during the, you know, Trump, Biden, Harris stuff. And most recently, he is now saying, in terms of pointing fingers, he's blasting Oprah Winfrey and Michelle Obama for alienating voters. Where'd he go? Stephen A. Smith, he says, in the end, quote, in the end, celebrities who are worth hundreds of millions, if not billions, who most American citizens feel are incredibly detached from their way of life and their quality of life, we're not going to get away with and guilt them into doing something different than what their experience says is going on. Well, he's spot on. I mean, he's absolutely spot on. So here's the thing. You've got a blame game going, and they're pointing fingers at him. They're pointing fingers at her. They're pointing fingers at this group, they're pointing fingers at misogyny. How about this? Y'all screwed up. You tried hard to sell something that nobody wanted. You tried hard to tell people that the experiences they were having, they really weren't having. And now you're sitting there trying to figure life out. Story here on New York Post. Joe Scarborough, who still calls himself a former Republican elected official, by the way. Joe Scarborough. MSNBC host Joe Scarborough knew exactly who to blame on Wednesday morning. It's racism and misogyny among voters of color. Did you get this? Black voters are racist. Yes, it's true. It's not just misogyny from white men, he says. It's misogyny from Hispanic men. It's misogyny from black men. It's things we've all been talking about, who do not want a woman leading them. And then he went on to say there might be race issues with Hispanics that don't want a black woman as president of the United States. He says, the Democrat Party, I've always found when you're sitting around talking, they love to vulcanize everybody in separate groups and to say, oh, white people don't like women. He says, no, it's time for the Democrats to say a lot of Hispanic voters have problems with black candidates. This is unbelievable. How does this guy stay on the air?
Well, funny enough, after Trump got shot, they didn't even allow him to go on the air because they don't trust him that much.
That's true.
Joe Scarborough. So, you know, maybe his own even employer doesn't, you know, trust him to put him up after an event like that. So maybe they should just pull him off altogether.
Well, maybe they should.
Yeah.
I don't know that he has the viewership right now.
Unfortunately, that is an Alabama product.
That is what?
He's an Alabama product.
I don't know that I knew that. Mm-hmm. Is he from Alabama?
I don't know if he's born and raised in Alabama, but he went to the University of Alabama. Let me double check that real quick.
Well, he didn't go to Auburn. I know that. Just saying. While you check that out.
Yeah, he went to Alabama.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Well, Laura Ingraham's daughter goes to Alabama too. So bam. You know, I look at it. I've got the blame game is it's Joe Biden's fault. It's racism's fault. It's misogyny fault. You know, one of the ones they're blaming right now too, Daily Wire has a piece. Following a decisive defeat by former President Donald Trump, the Kamala Harris team is already identifying the problems within their campaign. And the Harris VP pick of Tim Walz is at the top of the list. They're trying to say that Tim Walz is the reason why they lost. I mean, it can't be about Kamala. Let's think back. Let's see. She was a U.S. senator for barely 2 years. She ran for president in 2020, and did so poorly she dropped out. And then you got going into this race, she had never won a single vote to be allowed to run on the ticket, and yet she was anointed as the head of the ticket when they ousted Joe Biden. I mean, the whole thing. It can't be Kamala's fault. You know what I have seen yet? I haven't seen many people pointing fingers at Kamala. They had a flawed candidate, big time, and they had a flawed platform. That was, if you remember, they didn't even put their platform up on the website until like, what, 60 days before the election? But they're now blaming Tim Walz, who's going to crawl back wounded to his governor's mansion and go back to work in Minnesota. And I'm wondering if he'll be able to stay in office anymore. When we get back from this break, we'll take a moment to get some text messages. But the blame game may be the most interesting from the ladies of The View. Ah, oh, gee. Yeah, it's something else. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. So finishing up this segment of the Blaine Game, and by the way, coming up top of the hour, don't forget, we'll come back and we will have some Butters and Lee time. But the ladies of The View, if there's ever been a group more afflicted with Trump derangement syndrome, I don't know who it is. There's going to be a need to pass out entire bottles of Trumpanol, not Tylenol, Trumpanol, to help them relieve the cramping from Trump derangement syndrome. But one of the worst on the show in terms of making no sense whatsoever is Sunny Hostin. She is the one on the audio clip that I've got, right? Sunny Hostin? Yeah, so I got an audio I'm going to play here momentarily. Let me tell you a couple things that's in this whole presentation. Sunny Hostin believes that we just don't know the issues, that we didn't vote policy, and yet she claims that she literally voted for everything about, you know, things like race and gender and all that, as opposed to policy herself. But she goes on to blame uneducated white women. There's a bunch of uneducated white women doing these things. She warns of being profoundly disturbed about the internment camps and that black women's rights are going to be diminished if not taken away completely. Where does she just makes this stuff? I mean, how does she allow to even have a presence on a national network like this? And, you know, and then they get going with the Joy Behar chiming in, and it's just, it's unreal. Profoundly disturbed. I think in 2016, we didn't know what we would get, but now we know, and he's going to have unfettered power. He's going to have immunity. I worry about our elderly, their social security and their health care. I worry about my children's future. The blame game and the Trump derangement syndrome. Y'all, I hope that sometime soon their quarantine starts, right? But I got an audio clip. Listen to this audio clip from Sonny Hostin on The View. Play it, man.
I don't know. I'm profoundly disturbed. I think if you look at the New York Times this morning, the headline was America Makes a Perilous Choice. I think that in 2016, we didn't know what we would get from a Trump administration, but we know now. And we know now that he will have almost unfettered power. And so I worry not about myself, actually. I don't worry about my station in life. I worry about the working class. I worry about my mother, a retired teacher. I worry about our elderly and their Social Security and their Medicare. I worry about my children's future, especially my daughter, who now has less rights than I have. And I remember my father telling me many, many years ago that I was the first person in his family to enjoy full civil rights. And now I have less civil rights than I had when he told me that. So again, I'm
Stop. How does she have less civil rights? Does she even know what civil rights are?
She couldn't tell you how she has less civil rights.
She couldn't tell you. But it made for a neat soundbite. And now my father told me I have more civil rights. And I have less civil rights. And she has less civil rights. She doesn't even know what she's talking about. I mean, the civil rights laws didn't change because Trump was elected. He didn't go to Congress and legislate new law. The man's coming into office the same. Oh, play it. Just keep playing.
Disturbed that the 14th Amendment of the Constitution did not prevent someone who participated in an insurrection from becoming president of the United States. Oh. I think
Stop. She's still riding January 6th. She's still riding January like it was a true insurrection, like there was a true overthrow of government. There was no insurrection. Thank you. Keep playing.
Forward, the convicted felon box on employment applications better be taken off, because if you can be the president of the United States, then you should not be prevented from employment in this country. Because I remember applying for my jobs as a federal prosecutor, and there was a box for convicted felons.
Wait. She has a law degree?
I think so.
From where?
Clown college.
Did she get it off the back of a cereal box? I mean, what the heck? Play it. Keep playing.
That box better be taken off. And I think our health care system is now at risk. I think
fluoride for anyone.
Yeah. Economists have made clear that he's going to increase the debt by $7.75 trillion. I'm worried about mass deportation and internment camps, and I'm also worried about Elon Musk warning Americans to prepare for temporary hardship.
Okay, stop. The only thing she got right was mass deportation. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I heard in there that's legit. The only thing.
You know, I think I just have one way to respond to that. It's just that's all I heard when I was listening to that.
It is people like Sonny Hostin that gave us the cacistocracy we've been living under for the last 4 years. Is there any more to that clip? How much more is left?
That's it, pretty much.
I don't think I could take any more. All right, listen, we're about to take a break right now. By the way, don't forget, we got a brand new email newsletter blast. If you want to get on the Right Side Report, the daily email blast that goes out, tells you all about the show, the podcast, things we got going on, just text the word newsletter, one word, newsletter, to 833-68-RIGHT. You'll get a response back and give you a chance to sign up. We'd love to get you in the queue, because we got a ton of stuff going on at Right Side Media. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Butters and Lee coming up next.